our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who keepeth truth forever, and do never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be given unto thee, or richly multiplied unto thee, from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our evening worship service with the singing of Psalter 368, the stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Arise, O Lord, our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest. O let thine house be thy abode forever, with thy presence blessed. Psalter 368, the stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the Gospel according to Luke, this 22nd chapter, starting at verse 24 through 38. Luke 22, starting at 24 through 38. But before we will do confession with the words of the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Thus far our scripture reading.
Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. All-knowing, all-sufficient, and eternal Lord, whom dwellest in the heavens, most holy, and also good-doing Lord, whose eyes run to and fro throughout the entire world. Oh, may it humble us. And wilt thou dare to humble us under thy mighty hand, that in the evening of this day, in the middle of the week, we be privileged to be gathered in thy house, or to listen along in a moment set aside under thy word and testimony that speaketh of death in Adam and life in Christ, and how that a child of Adam be reconciled to God, of those ways of the Lord in the life of his children. And then so often, through many tribulations, to enter into that kingdom. And Lord, then it is a wonder that we be gathered, that thou hast not done with us yet according to our sins, hast not rewarded us according to our iniquities. But are yet mindful, leaving us in the time of grace, as individuals, as families, as congregations, as classes, as denomination. For Lord, what is now man and who are we? And what are now office bearers? All but sinners. And may it now be experienced, Lord, in this evening, by this one or that one, could it be by many, yea, all, that there may be born that cry out of the depths as we sang, arise, O Lord, arise. For if thou wilt not enter into this thy abode, then it be empty. Then there will maybe still be a few words, but then they are not more than words. But may we now beseech thee, Lord, arise, arise, to be in our midst. And thy word be opened, proclaimed, to leave nothing in man, so that there may come room for all in thee. And Lord, that is a painful lesson in the life of office bearers, in the life of thy servants, in the life of thy children, to be stripped, to be uncovered, to be taken our own strength, so that thy strength can be made perfect in weakness. And we beseech thee, Lord, may that now be found in this evening, and also in the day of tomorrow, when as the classical meeting hopes to meet the delegates that are appointed. Arise, O Lord, arise and be in our midst, that there not only be found unity and peace, but that there also may be found open hearts, and those moments that thy children may speak heart to heart, about what lives within, about what thou givest unto thy church. And Lord, what is that man? What are then office bearers when they are called to speak about matters pertaining church life? O Lord, we beseech thee that thou wilt care for thy church, for this part of the vineyard, for our classes, for our denomination, for this congregation and the individual congregations, so many souls created for eternity. And thou art so clear in thy word that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Lord, there is a time to be born and a time to die. And the time in between is the time of grace, the acceptable day into which thou comest unto us with thy word. Today, if thou hearest this voice, harden not thine heart. O Lord, wilt thou then be pleased to break hard hearts, so that there may be born sinners in Zion that may become guilty sinners before thee, that may learn something of those bitter tears of lamentation, and that not only for the first by all, but also by renewal. As a Simon Peter going out and weeping bitterly, where all the ways in man are shut, where that impossibility had to be experienced, and the unworthiness of man, where that man had to come in a place that it now could not be reconciled at his sight ever anymore, that in that way there may come room for that wonder that thou hast visited him, hast looked him up, and restored him, turned him back unto thee. Lord, may there be such a people this evening that has come to thy house, maybe out of custom, but that may leave smiting the brass, fleeing into the inner room as a guilty one before thee. Members, office bearers, that we may become the guilty one for personal life, for how things go in families, in congregations, in denominations. For we are outside of paradise. Arise, O Lord, arise. Give us as classes, as denomination, as congregations, not over to ourselves. For who can then stand? Oh, then we can still have a bit of church life. But if thou art not in it, and if thy spirit is missing in his work, then it is so empty. Lord, wilt thou then empty us of self, and fill us with thy spirit, that it this evening may for a moment be good in thy house, that there may be found those whom thou hast taught to sigh, that know about that sighing at the throne of grace, that there may be those, Lord, We may storm thy throne of grace for mercy. Arise, O Lord, arise. Be with our congregations, our families, with all the needs, the cares, the wants, the sick, the seriously ill, the ones before the gates of eternity, the old, the infirm, the struggling ones, those struggling in their body, others in their mind, emotionally, mentally, but also those that struggle spiritually. Lord, thou knowest whether they are among us who have no name, who stand outside and do not know how they can ever be reconciled to God. May they hear their name this evening. May they hear that case be explained. Will thou take them by heart and hand? And will thou guide them through thy counsel? That in all looking down, thou wilt lift up their eyes, that they may look up to thee. That they may look up for the first, or by renewal to him who hang on the cross. For such ones who do not know it anymore, who are unworthy, and only worthy to be cast outside and out of darkness, who have no hope anymore but may receive hope in thee, where all helpers fail, may they receive help from thee. Grant that also unto thy servant, Lord, who is called to perform the labors this evening. Grant him opening. Grant him the unction of thy spirit, that it may be good for a moment in the pulpit and in the pews, or that there may be a people and to whom these things are not utterly strange. Remember our classes, our denomination. O Lord, thou hast entrusted so much to us. And there are also many concerns. Arise, O Lord. Arise. Work among our children. Work among our young people, adults and elderly, as we all travel to eternity. Arise, O Lord. Arise. That in the midst of our denomination, thou wilt leave an afflicted and poor people, that be given to trust in thy name. Remember, O Lord, our theological school, the curatorium, the students who may also be in our midst, and the instructors. Our Lord, arise and look upon each of them, and us in mercy. And where the harvest is white, the labors are few, be thou pleased to thrust others out as well, that they may come forward, taught and called by thee, thrusted out into the vineyard. Lord, wilt thou remember all of us together in this evening, that it may be good for a moment in thy house. Bind the three-headed enemy. Satan goes about as a roaring lion. World and sin, we carry it along in our hearts, and we are ourselves the biggest enemy. But Lord, may all hindrances be taken away. And may thy spirit be our constant aid.
that all our ways may ever be directed in thy statutes, so to be obeyed, and that it may be true that salvation may adorn her priests, to look away for a moment and to him who hang on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forsaken by God and man, that thy church be never forsaken by thee. Finish that work, to also begin and finish that work in the life of thy children, to finish most perfectly what thou hast undertaken. O Lord, take then reasons out of thyself. Remember us in mercy. We beseech thee. Remember thy servants gathered with us in their respective circumstances and congregations. All things are known to thee. Grant us thy help, Lord. Each individual from the sanctuary, and that also in this evening and in the day of tomorrow, we be gladdened by thee. We ask in the pardoning of our sin, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. While your collection be received, and there will be one collection for the church, for the class's expenses, and may the Lord bless thee and thy gift, we will sing together Psalter 187, all four stanzas. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. And what follows in 187? Thank you. and sorrowful today, I cry. Ought that not to be the heart? Ought that not to be the life of an office bearer, of a minister, of a student in a ministry, of a church member, young or old, needy and sorrowful to thee, I cry. For only in that way the Lord makes it true. He helps the needy. But who wants to be needy? Who wants to be sorrowful? Not one of us. Or there must be a spark of grace in the heart. What a wonder, eh? If the Lord humbles under his mighty hand and brings from the throne of our pride upon our knees in that valley of humiliation. No one can bring himself there. Not an office bearer? No. Not a minister? No. And even deeper, not one wants to be there. And yet, there is a people that when the Lord brings there, there is no better place at moments. Why? Because when the Lord binds us in needy and sorrowful at the throne of grace, that in all the bitterness and in all the bitter tears, there lies a sweetness that nothing of the world can give them. And in that holy unrest, restless is the heart until it finds rest in thee. And how now to come there? Well, the Lord knows ways how to come to bring there. And how to bring there again. And often, then the Lord needs such deep ways to our shame, but in his goodness, to humble. We see it in this evening hour with the help of the Lord and awaiting his blessing. That's where our text can be found in our scripture reading, Luke chapter 22, and thereafter verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Be right under this text, Jesus warns, for Satan sift. Jesus warns. Yeah, those are office bearers there. For Satan's sake. And if we consider in the first place Satan's desire, Satan has desired to have you. Secondly, Christ's prayer. But I have prayed for you, for thee. And thirdly, Simon's calling. And thou, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus warns for Satan's sift, Satan's desire, Christ's prayer, Simon's calling. Our text, beloved, brings us to the upper room. There with the Lord Jesus, with his disciples, had the Passover. There where he instituted his Holy Supper. Where he spoke of his sufferings. very exposed, Judas Iscariot, and sent him away. Between having the Passover and instituting the Lord's Supper. And there they sit around the Lord's table. You know what was the reflection of the disciples? Office bearers, called to the ministry, elders. You know what was the reflection? They started to discuss together who of them was counted to be the most. No, not who of them was the most, but who of them thought that he was the most. Office bearers, all children of God. All men with grace, discussing and looking at one another, who was the most proud? Who was the proudest? Office bearers. Is that not a danger? What does the Lord Jesus teach them then? You know who is the most? Those who is the least in himself. You know who is the greatest? The one who is the smallest in himself, the most unworthy one, are there those among us. Delegates, elders, deacons, ministers, are there those. No, not to think who is the greatest. Not to think, and I am more than him. But to think, what a wonder that I may be here. You know what the disciples do not understand yet? And what is a lifelong lesson for office bearers? That the way of Christ is the way of his church. That it does not right away go to the crown, but that it goes from suffering to glory. From death to life. From humiliation to exaltation. Christ is teaching his disciples in the office that it does not go right away to the crown, but that the way to the crown goes through Satan's sieve. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired thee that he may have you, that he may sift you like wheat. No, it is not a place of honor for an office bearer in the right place, for a child of the Lord in the right place. They are not waiting to be praised by man. Not a place of honor, but Satan's sieve. Simon, Simon. Jesus says that to all the disciples, but he is addressing especially that one disciple, Simon Peter. Simon, Simon, in tender love, he mentions his name twice. Have you ever noticed that? The Lord Jesus does that more often. Martha, Martha, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Simon, Simon, in tender love, warning for the danger that office bears and others that we all are open for. He's moved with them because they travel to eternity. He sees the danger and he's concerned. He wants to wake them up. Oh, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Simon, Simon, a man with grace. But have you noticed that the Lord Jesus does not mention his new name? That Jesus doesn't say, thou child of God, thou office bearer, thou minister. That he doesn't say, thou rock. Oh yeah, there were those moments in his life who say, man that I am. And Simon could exactly say it. But then the question came, but whom say ye that I am?
And there, oh, out of the depth of his heart came that confession, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." That doesn't come from Simon. Simon, flesh and blood has not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That was now given from above, applied in his heart. And he is Simon, Simon. What does the Lord teach that office bear? That God's children in themselves are nothing but a Simon. That Peter, that rock, was in himself nothing but a Simon, ready to halt and stumble. Simon Peter had to be brought back to who he is and remains in himself. Simon, Simon, has that ever taken place in our life? Such a man is not an office bearer before God's countenance. Such a person doesn't stand before the Lord as a child of God, but he stands before the Lord in whom he is, in himself, and who he remains in himself. Simon, Simon. And how does the Lord teach that then? Well, he says it, behold. Beautiful word. That means as much as not only look or see, but look through it. Pay all attention to it. Behold, then the eyes need to be opened. For what is man in and of himself? What is man also after received grace, ready to halt and stumble, so full of pride? What is now necessary in the life of office bearers, of children of each of us? That our blind eyes be opened. Behold, has that ever taken place? When the Lord brings his children in that valley of humiliation upon their knees, then they are not more than others, then they are the chief of the sinners. Then they can go and sit beside Paul when he says, "Unto me, the chief of the sinners." Then they can say, with all due reverence, "Paul, that's not you, that's me. Unworthy to serve, unworthy to stand before the Lord." Simon, Simon, you hear his tender love and mercy. Behold. And what does Christ now do? He points his disciples, the office bearers, he points each of us at the danger in our life. Satan has desired. Satan, his name means opponent, who opposes the work of the Lord. And each of God's children, even the smallest in grace, know a little of that. As long as you still stand on Satan's side, and by nature we all do, we fallen unto him in paradise. We've inclined our ear in paradise unto the prince of darkness. We believed him, taken from the forbidden fruit, fallen into pride. Satan, as long as you stand on his side, he doesn't bother you. No. Whether it is in the midst of the world living itself out, maybe you say, "But I don't do that." Well, if you live on Satan's side as a pious man or woman, he won't bother you either. No. He has you already. You are already on his side. And no, I do not say that all troubles and afflictions that man also in his natural state can encounter, that are the siftings of Satan. No, no. But when now the Lord starts his work in the life of a sinner and humbles him before the Lord, when that choice of love is born not to be repented of, to say farewell to Satan, world, and sin. And there now may be a young man or a young woman or an older one who must say, "And I have nothing, but thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. I missed everything.
But I rather want to die with that people than to die with the world or religion. Satan has desired. You know what that means? That means Satan requests. No, Satan demands to have Simon. That's what it actually says. Not Satan has desired, requested in a friendly way. No, he actually demands him. He wants him. He thinks he is entitled to Simon, to sift him as the wheat. And why does he think that? He claims him. He gives unto the Lord an ultimatum. Why? Because has Simon not fallen at his side in paradise? Is Simon that office bearer not conceived and born in sin? And Christ had not suffered yet for him. Therefore Satan does everything to have the children of the Lord on his side, bank on his side. Satan has desired, and he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour in personal life, in family life. Does his name not mean divider, destroyer? Is he not out for that? In churches, families, in denominations, has Christ not warned us for it? Simon, Simon. When it is as if we hear him say it weepingly. Satan has desired to have like a Job. Does Job fear thee for naught? He said. Give him to me, allow me to bother him. And see if he then still will be faithful. Satan has desired to have you, that he might sift you. What is that? Well, to sift, that is what happened after the harvest. The corn was laid on a sieve and be shaken back and forth. And when they blew over it to take the chaff from the corn, and then the chaff would be blown away. But now Satan wants to have God's children in order that they would be revealed as chaff and be blown away. Or that they would fall through the sieve. Satan has desired that he may have you, that he may sift you like the wheat. Is he not busy with that? Maybe there are those in our midst. We don't speak about it. But what all goes on in the heart, and the Lord uncovers a sinner of whom he is, as Satan comes. You think you're a child of God? Or he falls in sin and he says, you think that that can be combined with grace? Or he says to another one, you think that you are worthy of grace? And he says to someone else, and now you dare to do that and profess grace. Now you can never be restored with God in communion anymore. That he might sift. What a wrestling can that give in the inner room? What a deep ways can they be for such a soul when they are tried, when they are tested, when they are sifted? Like the wheat, where Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking to destroy. And you know when Satan is more dangerous? Not when he comes as a roaring lion, then you hear him from a distance, children, don't you? But when he comes as an angel of light. You know what I'm always so scared for? When Satan comes with the Bible in his hand. And you have that a lot nowadays. So much that you sometimes think, what is now yet true? And he comes as an angel of light. And he tries to have us deviate. And he tries to let us fall. And he tries to let us stumble. And then he plunges on us. And now it can never be restored anymore with the Lord.
Or he says, is there a God? And if there is a God, why does this then happen? And why does that then happen? Or he says to God's children, where is God, thy soul's reliance? And waves of myriad woes go over the soul. And it seems that they are left all alone. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know what Satan's purpose is? Children of the Lord, are they here? Who are the children of the Lord? Most of the times they don't even dare to say that themselves, do they? But those are those strugglers, those wrestlers at the throne of grace. What is Satan's purpose? He wants to sift out all life from the soul. That's his purpose. To let God's children fall through, that he may have them forever. But you know what the wages of Satan are? That's not the corn. That's the chaff. You know why? Satan wants to sift out life. But I know of another one who is sifting. That is Christ, whose fan is in his hand, and who is cleaning, who is purging. And he gathers the wheat in his garner. What Satan thinks for evil, Christ makes work to gather for good. Even those deep ways, even when the Lord allows God's children for a moment to go astray, for a moment to fall into pride, for a moment to fall into sin. He might sift you. He wants to sift out life. But what does now Christ do with his children? He is sifting out death. See it by Job. Is it for naught that Job may feel? What was the fruit? The Lord has given. Oh yeah. It's not so difficult, eh? Each birth announcement, you read that. The Lord has taken. It's not so difficult either. Each obituary, you read that. But then it follows. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And there was grace. And I don't say Job was always at that right place. No. But at that moment, the Lord made it work together for good. Satan had sifted. But the Lord had it made work together for good to bring Job in his right place. So that he could say at moments, and when I will die, I shall out of my flesh see God. And that not a strange one. Can you say that? Is there a people who may say that on good grounds because they have learned that in their life? That it doesn't start with Jesus and a solution. But that it starts with a guilty sinner, a missing sinner before a holy and righteous God. And a strife and a battle in my life. Are there those? Needy and sorrowful to thee I cry. When there comes a time that all helpers fail. The helpers in myself, the helpers around myself, but all the texts, all the tears, all what took place in my life cannot help me anymore. It comes down to I need to be reconciled to God. Hopeless, so that there may come hope. In him and help from him. No, say devil. No, Simon Peter cannot see that at this moment. He gets warned for Satan's sin, that he may sift you as wheat. But what is the fruit? Simon cannot see yet that only the corn is left, and the Lord brings his people home. Oh, we live in dark days. In personal life, you maybe say it. In church life, you notice all things. In our country, in the world, cannot go much longer on. We live in the last of the last days, and Satan knows he has but a very small moment left. You know what is the wonder for the people? And how the Lord opens their eyes, behold, that Satan does not have the last word. But that wonder that we read, secondly, but yet, nevertheless, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And there he goes deeper. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. There it is, literally in plural. All the disciples. Christ speaks to Simon, but he includes all the disciples, all God's children. Satan will not rest. But when it comes to, I have prayed for you, we read it in singular. I have prayed for thee. Then Christ says that in particular to Simon. No, not only to him, but to teach us that now that is a personal matter. Has it ever become personal for us? In account with the Lord. I must die and I cannot die as I am born. Has that ever become personal? With my burden of transgression, heavy laden, overborne, humbled low, I made confession. Oh, and then such a sinner gets asked, and how is that now in your life? They won't answer, and this is how God's people experience it. Becomes personal. I have prayed for you. Personal. Instead of you. And there was a time that Simon couldn't pray anymore. You recognize that office bears? Eh? You're so often called to pray. And you know, sometimes you say amen and you can only loathe about yourself. Eh? But I know our prayers, brothers. What are now our prayers? But what a wonder that we read here about the great office bearer. But I have prayed for you. I for you. That means when there came a time in Simon's life that he couldn't pray anymore. Ah. I think, no, I know. Those are not utterly strange things in the life of a true child of God. Eh? That he can pray anymore. You see, sometimes people say, that man, he can pray. I don't take that as a compliment, by the way. How can he pray nice? When you ask a child of God and they say, ah, there are those times I maybe utter a few words, but I cannot even keep it for prayer. I have prayed for you. And why is that a wonder? Satan claims, he does it boldly. He wants to have Simon. But on the other hand, we hear the great office bearer ask for Simon too. Satan thinks he has a right to God's children. Satan thinks he has a right to the church.
Because in Adam they have fallen unto him. But what do we then read? That great office bearer sighs at the throne of grace, because he has received them out of the hands of his Father, from the stillness of eternity. Satan thinks he's entitled to. But I have prayed for you. What does he pray? That Simon then would not come in the sieve? Or that the Lord would take him out of the sieve immediately? No. When Christ himself has to come in the sieve, then the sieve will not be kept from his children. And they have to press his footsteps. And the way of the surety, we sometimes say, is then also the way of the church. When it is in the application, when it is in the fruit, then those things are not entirely strange for a child of God. A servant is not more than his master. They've despised him. They will despise God's children. The world doesn't want them anymore. And religion becomes full of enmity. And everything seems to come up against us. Look here in Canada, Bill C-9. And it passes. Yeah, those brothers. Students. God's servants. And it seems that you may not say everything anymore out of the Bible, otherwise you end up in prison. And then to be steadfast. And then to say, and I need to be more obedient unto God than unto man. How is that possible? If may something experience of what the text says, but in my impossibilities, but I... Oh, that great eye. And does he receive value? And my eye fades. And the Lord is usually going a deep way for that. Even allowing Satan sift. When my eye fades, when my eye comes to naught. But I have prayed for thee. When he comes in the sieve, his children need to separate the chaff from the corn also in their life. What does he ask? That thy faith fail not. No, it is not a child of God asking that. They often cannot come further than, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Or do we always have our pockets full? You always have that for the take. I don't. Beloved, it is a wonder if it may be there at moments. And the Lord empties out. And then the Lord gives. Help thou my unbelief. I have prayed for thee. When it becomes personal, where all other helpers fail, that thy faith fail not. No, Christ is not asking his Father that the seed of regeneration may stay. He is not asking that conversion will not be taken, but that their faith fail not. Why? Because faith is a gift of God, and faith is the bond that God's Spirit lays with such a worked out sinner unto Christ. When he is revealed unto the soul, help thou mine unbelief, as Satan knows.
when he can take that faith away, that faith in exercise away, then it seems as God's children are just like all others. And then he has the best opportunity to let them fall and stumble. And then he can attack them. Then they are most vulnerable. That thy faith, gift of God, fail not. Thy faith. Certain knowledge, that assured confidence that makes them cleave unto the throne of grace, that brings them in the inner room, taking refuge. That faith that may say as a Simon Peter when it was in exercise, and Christ said to them, "Would ye not all go?" You know what he said? "Yeah, let's also pack our bags." No. "And to whom shall I go?" Thousands had left. Christ says to the disciples, "Would ye not go to? And to whom shall I go?" And Peter didn't say, "I'm converted." Peter said, "Thou hast the words of life eternal. But I have prayed for thee. That thy faith fail not." When did Christ pray for that? "Beloved, and I bring you to the stillness of eternity. There where he received him from his Father, there he prayed already for them. Father, thou hast given them unto me." There he prays already for them. There the salvation of the church lies secure. Oh, I know many people don't want to hear about that anymore. But there lies the secret of salvation. "I have prayed for thee from the stillness of eternity when he received them from his Father in that council of peace. And all that people that he has loved from with an everlasting love and chosen, given them unto Christ, whom shall I send?" But they were bound on his heart. "I have prayed for thee." Why personal? Because the Lord knows them that are his. What a wonder. And it's not about "I know it." And it's not about what we know of one another. And we know often so much, we think. But I'd rather speak with those that don't know it anymore. Are they here in Cortland? They don't have all the answers and the solutions from where you come in the midst of the classes. "I've prayed in the fullness of the time." Yeah, he did that too. That high priestly prayer in those times that he was seeking a solitary place. "Father, I pray for them. That thou wilt keep them from the world. That thou wilt keep them. That will protect them, that I will guide them by thy word and spirit." He's praying for them on Calvary's hill. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He's praying for them in the Garden of Gethsemane. "If ye seek me, let these go their way." And he still prays for them at the right hand of his Father. Oh, may Paul not testify it, who is at the right hand of his Father, who also prays. Who begs, based on his pierced hands, "Father, those whom thou hast given, and now I pray not only for them, but also for those who by their hand would believe in me, who by their service." And now the Lord still wants to have others bear us. Why are we together tonight? Why is there still a church? Why do we come to church on Sunday? Why is that? That the Lord, by the foolishness of the preaching, be pleased to work. Because the last one has not been added yet. "I have prayed for thee. There is still such a people. You sometimes hear that. God doesn't comfort a sinner anymore. It's a lie. That comes straight from hell. Because as soon as the last one has been added, then he comes back right away. I have prayed for thee. And based on his petition, he teaches his children to pray too. Ah, Lord, can I still become from chaff corn? Convert me as thou convertest all thy people. You know what the people is concerned about? That they may receive a biblical conversion. Are we concerned about it in our days? Are we concerned about it? We still hear about conversions. But the question is, are they biblical? Are they God-given? Or man-made? I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. There is still a people that longs to be included in God's word. Lord, may I find a fellow traveler in thy word. May I be explained in thy word. They've come tonight. Lord, may I hear my name. Needy and sorrowful to thee I cry. Satan will sift till the last day. But Christ will also pray till the last day. Till the last one has been added. No, that does not exclude the prayer of God's church. The Lord brings them in the inner room. Teach us to pray. And that they can't even keep it for prayer often, and yet they cannot leave their place closed either. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And yeah, then they know that what the Lord has begun, he will finish most perfectly. But they can so often, they cannot even see that for themselves, can they? Because if it is up to me, I'm so ready to halt and stumble. What is then necessary? And what is now the clear fruit? And how can you now recognize that people? What is now that mark of grace? Who are they now for whom the Lord prays? Well, they are converted by God and unto God. We consider it, but first we sing from the Lord's Prayer. Stanza 8. O fount of power, life and light, deliver us from Satan's might. His strength is great and we are frail. The 8th of the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, help us then. The church can often not come further than that. Oh, help us then. And make us free. How does the Lord do that? And thou, when thou art converted, and thou, when thou art converted, you say, what is now the difference then between the first conversion and the daily conversion? Would you know it? When the Lord converts his people, he uncovers them of his unrighteousness. In the daily conversion, they need to be delivered from their self-righteousness. In the first conversion, when the Lord humbles a sinner, he makes room for Christ for the first time. In the daily conversion, it is also about sanctification. And it is about a battle against world and sin. Oh, that three-headed enemy from within and without. And you know what is now the greatest enemy of God's children? It's not the devil. It's not the world. It's not sin. You know what is the greatest enemy of God's children? That am I. Myself. And thou, when thou art converted. No, Simon didn't see that. He needed to be brought in that place. Because hardly Jesus was done with his warning, or he said, oh, but I am ready to go with thee in prison and in death. And when Jesus told him that he would deny him three times with even an oath and a curse, Simon said, I will not do that. But it didn't last so long. And when out of love he follows his master in that room of Caiaphas, then there was a little handmaiden. Thou wert also with him. No, I'm not. Truly, thou art also with him. Thy speech, thy language betrayeth thee. I can hear it in your speech. Can the people hear that in your speech too? In the world? The workplace? In the church? Thou art with him. With an even an oath. I know not the man in a way that sounds so despising. And it didn't last so long, or the third time. Truly, I know it for a fact, thou wert also with him. And then he even cursed an office bearer. Cursing. God may cast me in outer darkness if I know him. That's how deep it can go. And honestly, beloved, we would not give a penny for such an office bearer, would you? But what the love of his master when he turned himself around and looked upon him. Oh, those eyes of the master. And there is heartbroke. And when thou art converted, what is now an unmistakable fruit of it? And Simon went out and wept bitterly. We still hear about that. That's an unmistakable fruit in the first conversion. At Paul before Damascus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? When he went into that street called Straight, where the Lord went a straight way with him. Where the Lord stripped him from everything. That was the same for Paul. And when thou art converted, godly sorrow that worketh repentance not to be repented of. And when thou art converted, bitter tears of lamentation are my meat by day and night. O God, be merciful to me. Can I ever be restored? There has Simon been on the sieve of Satan. Don't you believe that? Simon, now you better go the same way as your fellow brother Judas. How deep has that gone? But then the wonder I have prayed for thee. That now that chief office bearer does not let his child go. That he will not forsake the works of his own hands. No, that doesn't mean that the Lord steps over sins. Simon had to be brought in the right place time and again. And he needed to be restored. How? He went to Jesus? No. That was utterly impossible. Because when Peter went out and wept bitterly, Jesus was led out beside him. And he was brought to Calvary's Hill. Oh, it was never possible for Peter anymore. Sinned himself outside the communion and outside the office. What was necessary? He did not go to Jesus. That was impossible. He came to Simon. That morning of the Easter. And has been seen of Simon. Not of Peter, of Simon. And there Simon has wept again, bitterly. And there the Lord reconciled him to him. And when thou art converted, restored, and I can go into it, time is almost done. And when he was also restored in the office, lovest thou me, 3 times. And when thou art converted, so strengthen thy brethren. Ah, then Peter could not blow so high anymore, eh? From the tower. No. That is Simon Peter that first spoke so often and then thought, was made this small. And he had learned himself to be the least. Feed my lambs. Peter couldn't come further than that. It became a wonder that the Lord didn't send him away. And when thou art converted, that's an office bearer. That's a child of God that is a sinner in the right place. And you know, my beloved, all that they are more, they're too much. And usually we are, or not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Ah, and then when the Spirit comes in, and Pentecost, then he may strengthen his brethren. What shall we do, man and brethren? Then he can instruct them. Now that was not the purpose of Satan, when he had sifted Simon Peter. Then the purpose was to let Simon Peter perish. But the fruit was God honoring, glorifying, that he may write in his first epistle, we are kept. Simon didn't keep himself. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Christ. Strengthen thy brethren. Simon could not look upon others anymore. And Simon could sit beside, no. And Simon sat under them. Strengthen thy brethren. Such office bearers we are in desperate need of. Truly. They don't think so much of themselves, for whom it becomes a wonder more and more that they may serve. What a blessed congregation, eh? What a blessed classes when you may have such ministers, such elders and deacons. Not ones that know it, but they don't know it. Strengthen thy brethren, that may then sit beside them. Oh, I hope we may meet that way tomorrow. I hope we may speak that way tomorrow. I hope we may understand one another that way. And when thou art converted, you know where it will go. But they both are flat on the ground. Yeah. Strengthen thy brethren. Come. And I want thee more, we close. Who are you now before the Lord? Still a Simon? Unconverted? That you are in great danger. You travel to eternity, my friend. Can be your last church service tonight. You believe that? No, you don't. And if you do in truth, it is done with the rest. Then you'll be in the inner room with Simon, weeping bitterly. I cannot die as I'm born. Strengthen thy brethren. Ah, now Simons can still be converted. The Lord is the same. He's faithful. He has obtained his church. He's still applying by word and spirit. He has suffered for them on Calvary's hill. And he could say it is finished. There lies the wonder. And when thou art converted, no God's child can ever say that of themselves. No. Are you converted? They asked once a minister. They asked him on his deathbed, are you converted? You know what his answer was? The Lord's still busy with that. At the last breath, then all what that was of that man stayed behind, and all that was of the Lord went with. But is that a blessed people? Satan has desired
And in that way of conversion, God's children may learn finally that Christ has also desired. With desire, I have desired to have this Passover until I come. That the Lord strengthens his people under his word at his table. That God's children be led through this life until at last he brings them home.
There is no strife anymore, no pride, no self. There it is all in all, he, but I. When my eye falls away, there is left for the church he and thou. Not about self, but where he may say, I have prayed that thy faith fail not, but then faith will become beholding. Then we have no classes meeting necessary anymore. No. Then there are no troubles anymore. There he is all in all. Amen. All-knowing Lord, faithful art thou for an unfaithful one in himself. Thou hast made it well this evening. And Lord, and there is no better place than thy house. And we acknowledge thee for thy word. Forgive that was amiss. Bless that which was thine. Bring us all in that place with us, Simon Peter. In the inner room, with and for one another. Go with us. Grant us a good night's rest. Bring us in the day of tomorrow with the delegates safely back. And our Lord, arise also then to enter into thy abode. For Christ's sake we ask. Amen. 429, the fourth. Lord, though I walk mid trouble sore, thou wilt restore my faltering spirit. It is the fourth of 429.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.